I really had the aha moment, like we talked about, of realizing who my sponsors had been, what they were actually doing. I had always called them mentors and realized that really wasn't what they were doing. They were giving me a much greater gift than just being a mentor.
Welcome to Ambition Theory, Women in Construction. This show asks questions that everybody is thinking about but doesn't want to say out loud. It's about tackling complex topics like, why are there so few women in senior leadership positions? What is it going to take to change this? Each episode is a combination of motivation and tactical strategies to get ahead. We get out of our comfort zones and we take action. We learn, grow, and create opportunities. I am your host, Andrea Jansen, a certified executive coach with an MBA, and since 2018, I've coached over 1,000 construction professionals to level up their leadership. Let's get started. Catherine Payne is a project executive, and she talks about her journey in the construction industry. She shares how she embraced the field really early on in her career while she was still in college. She talked about how sponsorship has played a crucial role in advancing her career and how she is using it as a tool to create value for her company and in grow and invest in the next generation. I loved this interview about my absolute favorite topic, sponsorship, and I hope you learned a lot from it too. At Ambition Theory, we know that women alone can't change the construction industry. Building a more inclusive workplace takes commitment from everyone. That is why we work with companies on several levels, providing a holistic approach to driving cultural change. Our mission? To help you meet today's labor demands, attract and retain talent, and educate and train allies within your organization. We do this through captivating keynote presentations, immersive workshops, and targeted training. Our journey with you starts by exposing the elephants in the room, the barriers obstructing women's path to leadership. We identify the real issues, laying the foundation for genuine transformation. We lead your teams to those pivotal aha moments when they recognize the problems at hand and understand why the status quo falls short. These insights become the catalyst for tangible, meaningful change. Whether you want to strengthen your leadership pipeline, engage your entire workforce, elevate your leaders, or take action on all levels, Ambition Theory can help you do just that. Go to ambitiontheory.com/book a call and we can connect and get the conversation started. Hello, Catherine Payne. Welcome to Ambition Theory, Women in Construction. I am so honored to be interviewing you today. Can you first off introduce yourself and share what you do?
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. So I am Catherine Payne. I am a project executive with LaChase Construction. LaChase is a construction management and general contracting firm based out of Rochester, New York, but we have offices up and down the East Coast. I am actually out of our Durham, North Carolina office, our Southeast headquarters, as we like to call it. And I represent the market sectors of education and life sciences mostly as part of my career path.
Awesome. And what do you love about construction?
Oh gosh, what don't I love about construction? I got really lucky in that I figured out what I wanted to do with my life pretty early on. So I went to Clemson University for construction science and management, one of three females in my major when I was in school, and just always enjoyed problem solving and creating. So that's really still what I love about this business today. You are actively contributing to the built environment around you. I can drive by a project that I built a year ago or was part of building a year ago or 15 years ago, and it's still there and has helped grow a development or a university or whatever the case may be.
Okay, I'm really curious because most of the guests on this podcast find construction in a roundabout way. Like they don't know right away, I'm going to go to school and I'm going to learn construction and then I'm going to make a career. I'm so curious how you even knew to apply to a construction program.
That's a great question. And I didn't know that this was a career path for a long time. So I am one of two girls And as the oldest, I was the one responsible for always helping my dad with projects around the house. So I knew I liked building and creating. I assumed for most of my youth that that meant I had to be an architect or I had to actually be a laborer in the field with a hammer and nails. There was not a middle ground of those two things. And as I was nearing the end of high school, we had a family friend whose daughter was going to Georgia Tech for building sciences. What is building sciences? That sounds like a very interesting career path, and learned about project management as a career and wanted to go to Clemson. Did not know when I wanted to go there that they had an excellent construction management program, and found that out right as I was applying, and went into it a little bit unknowingly, not knowing really what that career looked like, but that I wanted to be a part of building, and took my first CSM class, construction science and management, and was hooked from day one. It's like, this is exactly what I want to be doing.
So it was really like there was this desire for building things. And then you had this exposure to this role model who were literally like 1 year ahead of you, almost like just literally
exactly
ahead. And that is so powerful. I love this story so much because it's such a powerful reminder that we're all a role model. Like this person who was literally still in school was the one that inspired you to take the step. So that is so cool.
Completely unknowingly too. I mean, it was something that she was interested in, and she inspired yet another person without really lifting a finger. She was doing the work for herself, and it just had a ripple effect.
Okay. I love that so much. Thank you for sharing that. So my next question is, so at LaChase, you were one of the founders of the Employee Resource Group for Women. Can you talk about how that happened?
Absolutely. So it happened somewhat by chance. We have a really great diversity, equity, and inclusion program, and we were doing some training around that, specifically around microaggressions, actually. And that training was very relationship-based, not kind of a soft intro into microaggressions, because that could be a little bit of a controversial topic. And we broke out into small groups, and leaving the training, it seemed to be like there was a really distinct perspective from women at LaChase that was completely counterintuitive to my experience. So a lot of women didn't feel like they could speak up and that they weren't necessarily empowered to take the next step in their career, which has been completely contradictory to what I experienced here. So I got together with Stephanie Pennington and a few other women. Stephanie leads our DEI program corporately. And she said, "This, you know, I really didn't enjoy how I felt after that training. It seemed, it was kind of depressing, honestly, to think that there were these women who didn't feel like they had the same opportunities that I felt like I had." And we got together and said, let's fix it right now. So they tasked me and another woman, Adrienne Pinella, who's phenomenal. She's also a project exec here, and said, let's take it at a grassroots effort. So we created the Women at LaChase Employee Resource Group, which was simply to share our perspective and kind of create our, try to eliminate this undercurrent of maybe there was lack of opportunity here, because that's just not the case. We thought a lot of it was just empowerment that needed to happen for the women ourselves, not necessarily even a corporate change that we needed to make, but just letting people know that they had a voice and an opportunity in this organization as much as the person next to them. So that was really the catalyst for creating this. And we've started with trainings and engagement opportunities from there.
And so I have some more questions from this. So it's really cool that you kind of like as a company took this initiative, we're going to do this training, because sometimes you don't really know what the outcome's going to be, right? And so for you, the outcome, it sounds like it was, my experience is different than all these other women in the company. So I'm really curious, what was different about kind of your experience growing your career using your voice and these other women? What do you think it was?
Well, I'll speak to my experience, because I don't know that every individual has the same experience as me. But what was really important for me, and I honestly didn't learn about it until what the name for it was, until I met you and went through your training, which I'm sure we'll talk about in a little bit more detail. But I had some really phenomenal coworkers throughout my career. So right out of school, I went to work on a huge $100 million project and had a superintendent on that job who just took me under his wing and really showed me the ropes, encouraged me to ask questions and feel confident asking questions, which I think is probably our biggest hurdle as women, is having that confidence to speak up if we don't understand something. And 9 times out of 10, everybody else in the room doesn't understand it either. It's not a gender. Someone's just not willing to ask the question. So having the opportunity and someone kind of there to pick me up if I look stupid, asking a question, to say, you know what, Catherine, it's, you need to learn, take the opportunity to ask the question and wrap your head around this. And it gave me so much credibility in the industry, understanding how things go together, truly like digging down into the nitty gritty of how things work rather than taking it at surface level. So that gentleman was probably the first person who really helped me find my voice in this business. And as that project was wrapping up, I was looking to make a change in what company I was working for, and came to work for a gentleman named Seth London, who is still my manager to this day, 11 years later. He's our regional vice president out of North Carolina. And Seth has been such an amazing mentor and manager, kind of pushing me when I wasn't necessarily as comfortable to take on some opportunities, but knowing that I could do it. It was certainly a stretch for me. I had some really uncomfortable conversations working through what that new responsibility looked like. But ultimately, there was someone behind me who felt like I could do it, and have that gave me the confidence to continue.
And so as I'm hearing your story, I'm like, Catherine had a sponsor from day one. You were one of those fortunate people that was able to like find that relationship, or maybe that relationship came to you. And it really is interesting because you talked about that superintendent like showing you the ropes, which is actually a mentoring relationship. Like, this is how you do your job. I'm going to show you how to do it. But then it sounded like it shifted to a sponsorship relationship where they, you said it, like they had your back. They would pick you up, or they'd be there to back you up, you know, if you asked a stupid question or if you made a mistake. And it sounds like it evolved really quickly into that sponsorship relationship, which then you found another sponsorship relationship. And the cool thing is like you can have multiple sponsors. And I think that's kind of explains like why your experience was maybe a little bit different than some of the other people, and that maybe they didn't have that sponsorship relationship at the get-go. So that is it's a really powerful story. And how does it feel to realize that, like looking back and having the words to describe it?
Oh, it makes so much more sense now. I mean, because the difference with sponsorship is that you don't have someone who's handing you opportunities. You have someone who's vouching for you potentially and saying that you're a viable candidate for this opportunity. They're not hand delivering something to you that doesn't require you to work or push yourself or really just be given anything. And that was why I always struggled to articulate. I've worked my butt off to get to where I am, but I have had someone who has been a champion of mine to encourage me to seize opportunities. And so I've never really had an issue of asking for something. If there's a task that needs to be done and no one's doing it and it's above my job description, why can't I do it? Is there something holding back? That's always just been my mentality of why can't I do this? And I think that's in large part due to the sponsorships I had early on in my career.
Okay. I can't wait to dive into this more with you and talk about how you're kind of like becoming that sponsor. But before we go there, I want to talk about your employee resource group. And then we did a workshop, like Ambition Theory came and did a workshop with women at LaChase. And I just understand, because that one was like, it was for men and women together. Men were expected to participate. And that was really the first time you did an event like that. So what was the background and how come you decided that that was the direction you wanted to go?
Well, we started off with Ambition Theory this year as our second year with the ERG. We were really looking to get into deeper conversations with the women who participate in the resource group. And the whole theme of what we're trying to do is empower these individuals to take charge of their career, to create their own destiny. And the sponsorship versus mentorship approach to it, once I started talking to you and Stephanie and I were engaged with you on what that really looked like, to me, that's kind of the light switch that needs to turn on people's heads to change that approach to how they manage their career. So that was really the initial thought process of choosing the training topic. But we always encourage men to attend our events and our training sessions, but we've never had a training that was specifically designed for men and women. A lot of times they're in the room as allies, which we so appreciate, but it's not necessarily, they're not necessarily getting as much out of the training as the women are. Sponsorship versus mentorship is not a gender specific theme. It is wholly beneficial for anyone who embraces that topic. So while it was important for our women to hear the importance of a sponsor, it was equally as important for the men in our organization, if they are more senior leadership, to understand the benefit of being that sponsor. But for the younger men that were on that call, they need sponsors just as much as women do to help grow their careers. And I don't think that it's less of an advantage if a male, your male counterpart has a sponsor as well as the female. Like, they're, neither one of them is necessarily getting more benefit from that relationship, right? It's just making sure that everybody is aware of it, and being the fact that we didn't have a lot of women in this industry for a long time. I just think it's something that we're not as aware of, but it is how you advance in this business.
And so it's really interesting. So I want to talk about what happened for you when you were taking this training, because sure. The motivation was, I'm doing this for the employee resource group. I'm doing this for the other women. I want to help them to like really advance their careers. I want to empower everybody, men and women, to embrace this concept of sponsorship. But something really powerful happened to you during this training, and I want you to share that.
Absolutely. So we were sitting there, and I really had the aha moment, like we talked about, of realizing who my sponsors had been, what they were actually doing. I had always called them mentors and realized that really wasn't what they were doing. They were giving me a much greater gift than just being a mentor. And I hadn't reciprocated that with anyone yet in my career. And I think in large part that is because I'm very protective and don't want to see people fail. But that is doing a disservice to the folks that are on my team. And I had to take a step back and say, what, it might be uncomfortable for me to put them in this position. It might be uncomfortable for them, but that's the only way they're going to grow. So I left that training thinking, I need to find an opportunity for this. I didn't know if it would be, you know, a week down the road or a year down the road to really find someone that I could pay it forward with. But I did pretty quickly thereafter.
What is it really like to be a woman in construction? Our 2023 Building Better Women in Construction Report, developed in partnership with NCCER, the National Center for Construction Education and Research, surveyed hundreds of women across the construction industry to shed light on what's working, what's not, and how everyone can help make a difference. The report offers insights and actionable steps that individuals and companies can take to create inclusive work environments where women and everyone can thrive. The key findings are fascinating. While salary may get women in the door, they're looking for more, clear paths to career advancement and leadership roles. But here's the kicker. 72% of women have never or rarely had a woman manager or supervisor. This is where you come in. Visit buildingbetterreport.com and download the 2023 report to learn how you can help advance more women into leadership roles and build a better construction industry for the future. And so I want to talk about what this, like, the block was, that kind of like this aha moment for you was like, you don't want people to fail. And that's something that is like good intentioned, right? It's like, you're like, I want this person to be successful. I don't want them to fail. And like you said, it kind of like holds them back from like learning or getting to that next step. So, and you said it, you're like, I don't know when this opportunity is going to come. But I remember I called you, or you called me like a couple days later, and you're like, guess what, Andrea? Guess what I did? So can you tell me what you did literally, like, I think it was a day or two after you had this epiphany moment?
Yeah, definitely. We had a project that we won, fairly small, like $1.5 million, not huge for the work that we do, but the work we do also spans, you know, $50,000 to $200 million. So we cover a lot of clients and have a lot of opportunity for growth on some of those smaller projects. So this smaller project came through the door and we were looking at staffing on the project. And one of my team members, it worked out with her workload that she could take on kind of the project management duties on this. And she's young in her career and a little bit green, but the name was there out there. And I thought, this is a great opportunity to stretch her and to give her the chance to grow. Whereas a week before attending your training, I would be like, I don't know if she's ready. That's just, I don't want to set her up for failure. Instead, it's completely reframed in my mind of let's set her up to take advantage of this opportunity, not protect her from failing when in fact she could be growing. So I decided to take her out to breakfast and have a very blunt conversation with her about this opportunity and just laid it out and said, look, this is available. I think you can do it, but it is a risk. And I need you to understand that that responsibility is on you. I am here as your safety net, but I am not doing the work for you. If you think you can handle this, I want you to have this opportunity and I will be there to catch you, but you've got to tell me when you need help. I am not going to swoop in and fix things. This is your opportunity to grow.
And what'd they say?
She literally almost jumped out of her seat. She was like, this is what I've been waiting for. I'm so excited. Like she told me, she's like, if I could jump around in this restaurant right now, I would. And it made me so happy to know that that's what she'd been waiting for and was willing to take on that risk, because it's a challenge and it can make people scared. I know the first time I got an opportunity like that, I was very nervous, but so eager and appreciative of the opportunity. So it really just was kind of a complete 180 on how I had looked at challenging my teams and challenging them with opportunities, not with failures.
And I love this part of the story so much, because in like sponsorship is a behavior. It's not like a checkbox type of thing. And this breakfast meeting that you had, it was like you kind of like made an explicit deal with this person, right? Like, I'm going to back you for this opportunity, but you know what? You need to actually step up to the plate and deliver. And without saying it, you kind of like explicitly said, like, I'm going to give you this opportunity. I'm going to be here. And it's your responsibility to let me know if things are going off the rails.
Absolutely.
And I think what you did was you explained sponsorship beautifully, and that like, if this project goes down, like, you're going down together. And I think from a like behavior perspective, it's just like you're getting that commitment, like that joint commitment that we're moving in this direction together. And this is what I'm going to do, and this is what you're going to do. And you had that explicit conversation and you made a deal. And that's something that's really hard for people to get their head around. So I just want to thank you for being open about that conversation, because like the end was that person said they would be jumping around the restaurant. Like, that's a beautiful situation to be in. And I just think about the growth potential that is going to come out of that conversation and this opportunity that you were able to create together. And I know sponsorship sounds amazing, right? It's like, oh, Catherine had a sponsor at the beginning of her career, and now look at her now. It's all amazing and fantastic. And that is not the case. Like, it's take hard work. There's mistakes, there's roadblocks. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about specifically this situation where you're creating this opportunity? What, you know, problems have come up along the way?
Yeah, there's been honestly more internal problems for me. So getting outside of my comfort zone, giving critical feedback is not my strong suit. I am aware enough about that to know that is a weakness of mine, because I don't want to hurt people's feelings. And that's probably a little bit of a female driven experience. But being able to deliver really direct, impartial feedback, there's no emotion behind it. Just like, this is the job, this is what needs to be done. And speaking up if something's not done exactly the way it should be, so that there's not a perpetuation of that activity, behavior, whatever the case may be. So I've had some pretty direct conversations with that particular employee, and she's doing a phenomenal job. But very specific things of, how we deliver information to clients, how we just packaging things in a way that are very palatable to our clients. That is one thing I really pride myself on, is how I interact with the clients that I serve and deliver information to them in a way that's digestible and very simple to understand. And so I've shared a lot of that with her, just breaking down how I would explain something. And a lot, some of it's, you know, little tweaks here and there of maybe phrase things this way. And some of it's like, no, that's actually the wrong terminology. That could give them the wrong impression about what the situation is. But it's just done in a matter of fact way, which has always been a weakness of mine. So I've been working on that. And the challenges really so far have been more on pushing myself to be direct and deliberate with feedback and just leave it as it is.
And I think what's beautiful about this situation is you had that conversation earlier that's like, we're in it for success. So I think one thing that I think is great about this is like, when you deliver that feedback, how did it go with the person? Like, how did they receive it?
Great. I mean, it's all 100% in my head. Yeah. I mean, yes. That's, I think what so many people get bogged down with is overanalyzing how a conversation may go rather than just jumping in and having the conversation. So I've grown just in the past couple of months of her being in this role, because it's allowing me to stretch as well and look at things from a higher level perspective and not be as in the weeds as I am accustomed to being.
Okay. Oh, I love that. I love that so much. And so one thing that we talk about in, like, when we're talking about women in construction, accelerating women into leadership, a lot of the narrative is like, oh, I want to give back. I want to do this because it's the right thing to do. But all the things that you're saying, like, it's stretching me. It's helping me operate a higher level. So I know this is uncomfortable, but like how sponsorship really works, it needs to be a win-win relationship. It needs to be, there's got to be something in it for the sponsor and something in it for the protege. And we don't love to talk about this out loud, like, because we don't like to talk about me, me, me. But I want to take a couple of minutes to talk about, like, what's for Catherine in some relationship.
Definitely. If this doesn't go well, it doesn't only look badly on the individual who is running it. It looks bad for me just as a project executive and dealing with this client. But it also looks bad for the company as a whole, right? I mean, it's on everybody to ensure that we get and maintain really good work. And I have gotten to a position where I'm doing a lot more of the get work side of the business. So I'm out looking at potential projects, talking to clients, and that takes away from what I have historically done, which is project management, right? Dealing in the weeds of a project and delivering on that work. And I did that for a very long time and really enjoy doing it. But by doing that, I am not able to continue to pursue new work and grow the business. So by her taking on the responsibility of this project, we're essentially growing people that can do more work, right? I mean, ultimately, we're in business to make a profit. That's not a secret. Stephanie loves to say we don't do this for free. But you have to keep good work. And if you win a good project, but don't deliver on it, it's all for naught. So by delivering excellent work, having clients that are happy with our team, that contributes to repeat business. And that just makes everybody's life easier and continuing to grow LaChase, which is our common goal.
I love that. And I love that you said that. It frees your time up from managing the project to enter this new level, which is business development. And you said it before, like, you're seeing things at a higher level. So how does it feel like to be kind of like in that position now and have that capacity?
Absolutely. It's really fun. So I have always prided myself on my relationships with my clients, but I wasn't necessarily out there looking for new work. But I love the planning side of things and figuring out if a project is viable. So that's been really fun for me to kind of find, I guess, my strong suit in it, which is building on those relationships that I cultivated over my time as a project manager and looking at those on a higher level for bringing owners in and explain the benefits of what LaChase can provide to them and how we deliver work, and then seeing our teams deliver on those commitments.
Okay, I love it so much. Okay, so sponsorship has this mindset shift from like doing all the work yourself, the mentorship piece, to the sponsorship piece has opened up, it sounds like, a lot of opportunities for you, but also like a lot of opportunities for growth at LaChase and for like the women behind you and just the people in general behind you. And I want to talk about getting started, because your story, it's such an incredible story, but it can get overwhelming when you're talking about like, how do I want what Catherine has, or I want to be that person that has, that Catherine's advocating for, or I want to be, how can people, like, what's an action? We always end things with a 24-hour action. That's the Ambition Theory way, which you're familiar with. What is something that people can do like right away to start embracing this concept, just to get started?
So I think I'll give you two answers. One is take a step back and kind of goal set for yourself. I don't think we take enough time looking at where we want to be in our career. And then line yourself up with people who could help you. And that may not be a sponsor on day one, but start asking questions of people. You can learn a lot from the individuals, and most people want to talk to you about that, how they've been successful, what they've done in their career, and getting outside of your comfort zone to have those conversations, to me, is the most beneficial thing you can do for your career, is to ask what's next and how someone got there. There is no reason that you shouldn't be sitting in your review with your manager and talking about where you want to be. That the review is your meeting, not your manager's meeting, which is what I tell our folks all the time. So you've got to advocate for yourself and have those conversations rather than just checking the box that this is a process that's being done. And we're going to talk about what I did this year, and then next year is next year. You've got to really take the reins and be the advocate for your growth.
I love it. So it's like, set your goals, get clear on where you want to go, and stay curious. Like, one thing as you were talking, curiosity was the theme that kind of came through for me, but allow yourself to be curious about where you want to go, and then lead with curiosity and start talking to people, because I feel like those sponsors will just spring up and you'll be able to see like some common values or some common opportunities, and those relationships will happen organically. Awesome. So thank you so much for sharing your story and your wisdom with us today, Catherine. It's been a joy to be a part of this interview.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been wonderful. We love what you guys do at Ambition Theory. We're excited to do another training with you soon.
Awesome. Thank you. Hey, before you go, I wanted to take a minute to read a review of our podcast. This review is from SSPCL123 from the US, and they say, "Fantastic. I have been absolutely loving this podcast. It has been motivating me to be a more reflective and engaged colleague." Thank you so much for that generous review. We really love hearing from our listeners. And I'm wondering if I can ask you a favor. Can you take a minute and leave us a 5-star review and a comment on Apple Podcasts? That really helps us to get the word out so that we can keep making episodes for you for free. Thank you for listening.